Time's up. Let's do this.
We're in for a wild night.
Welcome, 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 everybody, to episode 171 of Born to be Wild, a Wild exclusive Hearthstone podcast where we have fun hanging out with friends, talking about the wild format of Hearthstone and spotlighting members of the Wild community. I'm your host, as always, Nate Wolf. It is great to be back on a beautiful Friday evening. I am joining you live from Orange County, California, tonight with two of my favorite people. Hyder's on vacation, but I have two other favorite people. We are joined by a very special guest, a friend of mine, but I will let Sheep do the honors. So first and foremost, welcome back, Electric Sheep City. How are you?
Meowdy friends, I'm doing fantastic, coming at you from the greater Denver area of Colorado, the centennial state. And our guest this week, one of Nate's longtime friends and one of my newer time friends than Nate. Daniel Storm Rage Sheldon, welcome. Oh, Storm Rage 23.
Yeah, hello, meowdy everybody.
Did you hear that? I can't hear it on my end, but I'm sorry. Maybe it made the recording and maybe it didn't. We have a bleep button. I've never used it before until now. It's great.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm sorry.
I'm great, and I this slander of Storm Rage cannot contain himself is obscene and unnecessary. The only swears that I have on Squelch are, one, few and far between, and second, it's almost always H-E double hockey sticks, because I always forget that that's a swear, and my brain just goes, no, it's just a word, it's fine. So, like, I haven't, like, actually sworn on Squelch in a very long time.
Unless they talk about exploring a particular location.
That's irrelevant. It's not going to happen here. This is a safe space with friends.
Precisely.
Wow.
So, Daniel, tell us a little, tell us as much or a little as you would like to about yourself. Who is Daniel Stormrage Sheldon?
A little, because I like to talk about things with people rather than talk about myself by and large, because I don't think I'm that interesting. I'm on two different podcasts, one of which is the BlizzLed podcast, which is sometimes Hearthstone, most times not, and it is a very not safe for work podcast where we cover basically everything in Hearthstone except for Wild by and large. It's like the one mode we literally never talk about. And then I'm also on Squelch, where it is another Hearthstone podcast. And that covers, again, a great gambit of Hearthstone content and materials. And I occasionally stream probably about once a month on twitch.tv/stormrage23.
Fantastic. So as is tradition, you storm on Stream Rage 23.
I do. I storm on stream oftentimes.
Precisely. So we ask, of course, all our guests how they came up with their username. Where did yours come from?
Well, it started a long time ago. And I was a little tyke of 8 years old when I was playing Warcraft 3, The Reign of Chaos. And this character came onto the screen and immediately had an immense amount of presence. And I was like, yes, because I too was an edgelord as a kid. And I went, that, I want more of that, please. And the character in question is Illidan Stormrage, one of the Stormrage brothers from the Warcraft franchise. And Illidan is one of my all-time favorite characters within that franchise. And so I basically stole that name and I went, mine! And that's how it happened.
This is the way.
I like that name. I think I will take it.
So, of course, you mentioned the two podcasts that you are a host / co-host person, fantastic, of. So you, of course, are known around the hearth as the podcasting pro. How did you get into that thing?
I think podcasting pro is generous on both accounts, but I do enjoy podcasting, and it started as a project in grad school where we had to record a podcast and we had to talk about something we were interested in, And the only thing that I could think of that I was interested in and knowledgeable about at the time was Hearthstone. And I thought at the time that getting to rank 10 was like really impressive. And I was like, I bet I could do a podcast about this. Turns out that that's not that impressive back then or now. And so we pivoted and I originally was like, I want to do a really serious esport focused podcast. And then none of my co-hosts would ever do any research about the esports. And so we just goofed around the entire time. And I was like, okay, well, they don't want to do the research, but they're really funny. Then I think we just lean into the goofs and we just do more goofs all the time.
Hey, as long as we're having fun, you know what? I think like nobody wants to listen to a podcast that's like serious and boring and nobody's having fun. Right. So like, as long as like, I kind of feel like the goal is for like, It to feel like when somebody's listening, like, hey, we're just hanging out with the dudes talking about like our stuff. And if we're accomplishing that, then awesome.
Dudes talk about dude stuff.
I mean, talking about whatever we want to talk about, like just having fun.
This episode is brought to you by Harry's.
But like, I feel like if it's too serious, then like it turns like dull. So as long as everyone's having fun, like fine, wing it. Like that's what I like. I love the idea. Like sometimes Hearthstone, sometimes not. Like we for good or bad, go down that road quite frequently. So, I totally feel that.
Yeah, buddy. So I know that you were playing up to the elite rank 10 in grad school, but how long have you been playing Hearthstone and what brought you to this fantastic game?
So I think it's the same answer that like 95% of people have ever had, which is I started playing Magic the Gathering and I love Magic the Gathering. I still play, but it was I couldn't get into the competitive scene because I didn't have a ton of friends that played. And also it was insanely expensive to play. And so I was like, this Hearthstone scene sounds fun. And so I started Hearthstone right after BlackRock expansion got released. So pretty early on. But I don't think I really got into it until Mean Streets of Gadgets End. And I was like, oh, Jades? Jade things are fun. Aya Blackpaw is a fun card. And then you just race your friends to see who could get to 30-30 Jades first. Oh, and spoiler, that's why I'm really excited for Twist, this format, because it's literally the time that I started playing Hearthstone. And I'm very excited about it.
Yeah. Woo-hoo! Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Like, oh my gosh, I don't know. The ability to play like new Jade stuff after so many years, it's just crazy. I don't know. I don't know how anyone could not be excited about it.
It's amazing. And I know that we're going to talk about it more in detail, but one of the things that, and this is the next question, so I apologize for kind of stealing on this question. One of the reasons that I am wanting to get into Wild is twofold. One, I set a goal for myself to hit the leaderboard on all five leaderboards, which is Arena, Mercenaries, Battlegrounds, Wild, Standard, and I guess now Twist. So six leaderboards.
That's
This month I got up to two of Battlegrounds and Standard. And so I need to add Wild to my Infinity Gauntlet. And
I believe.
I appreciate that. It's a slow climb from 2x multiplier. When you've never played Wild, it's a slow climb, folks. But one of the reasons that I didn't play a lot of Wild for a really long time is because the advertise of that mode, and you guys talked about this, I think, last week when you talked about it with Housewife, was that it's a game mode where you're supposed to be able to play all your favorite cards as they were, right? But that's never been what the game mode is.
Right,
it's always
right.
been, we're just going to make Standard obscenely more powerful. And so a lot of the decks that you couldn't play or that you wanted to play, you really couldn't if you wanted to win or be competitive. And so with all these changes, now it feels like I can actually go back and play them at their appropriate power levels. And I am so excited. My goal this month is just to get my multiplier up. I'm hoping to finish probably around Diamond is my hope, maybe Platinum at the higher end. But I am just so excited about all these changes that I can actually go back and play Jade Golem.
Right.
I can play Jade Shaman, Jade Druid. I can play with C'Thun. I can play with so many fun things. And I'm very, very excited to get into Wild at this time.
Did you see the tweet from Matt London, by the way? It was so funny. I'll put up on the screen. It says, day one, these buffs will never have any impact in Wild. Day three, wait a minute. And then just the guy's response was so great. The devs don't care about Wild. I just want them to make an effort and stop ignoring us. Releases Caverns of Time. That isn't what I meant. Like,
but not like that.
Oh my God. So funny. I don't know. Nobody's ever happy. I'm happy though.
I'm extremely happy. I think that this is very exciting and I can't wait to play more of it.
Yeah, buddy. So what have you been playing in Wild to kind of build that star multiplier up?
So my first, usually my go-to when I'm like, hey, what's good in any mode is talk to my buddy Deck Tech. And he was like, I want something that's fast, aggressive, and just like murders people. And he was like, Mech Paladin. And I was like, Mech Paladin? Is it really that good? And he was like, yeah, you just draw a bunch of mechs, you play them all, you draw more mechs, you play them all, you win the game.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And I went. Now, keep in mind, my multiplier is literally 2x, so I'm playing against a lot of bots and people that have not played Wild ever. But I did go 20-0 with Mech Paladin.
Nice.
And I was like, okay, yeah, it is pretty good. It's pretty good to have
incredible.
A full board with Divine Shield, Wind Fury, Poisonous on turn 3, again on turn 4, and then if you need it on turn 5. It's kind of disgusting.
This is the way. So, of course, before we get into the show proper, we want people to know where they can find you around the internet. Where can you be found?
Follow me on Twitter, and I will refuse to call it anything else, because just because an edgelord says it's so does not mean that it should be so. And Twitter.tv, that's not correct either. goofed it on two fronts, friends. Twitter.com/StormRage23, Rage is spelled R-A-I-G-E, and Twitch.tv/StormRage23 spelled the same way. And if you're interested, you can go to SquelchCast.com for Squelch, or you can follow Blizzlet at Blizzlet on Twitter for that info.
Nice.
Fantastic. So, for those of you joining us for the first time, welcome aboard. Let me briefly explain how this show works. We record this podcast live every Friday evening at twitch.tv/borntobewildhs. And the video version of this podcast is then posted to YouTube shortly thereafter. Audio versions are also distributed to all of the podcast apps. So however you're watching, listening, or absorbing via osmosis this podcast today, thank you. Yes.
You. Thank you, everybody, especially those of you who are joining us live here tonight. You could be doing anything with your Friday evening, and you chose to hang out with us. So thank you so much for that. We really appreciate it. Before we get into the meat of the show, I did want to say a very quick but important thank you to Shokunin, the executive producer of our show, and to Aramorn and our other patrons. We really appreciate your support. It really means a lot to us. And if you're somebody who's interested in supporting us, there are a few easy ways that you can do that. If you like, comment, subscribe to our stuff on YouTube, that helps people find us. Same with leaving reviews on the podcast, various platforms. If you're somebody who uses Twitch, we do have some emotes that you can unlock, some for free just by following, others that you can unlock by subscribing. We do have some merch and some stuff that's available up on our website, which is borntobewildhs.com. Again, borntobewildhs.com. There's links to all of our stuff. So the YouTube, lore videos, if you're interested in that, that tell the stories behind all the cards. We stole inspiration from Velen's Chosen back in the day. And then, like, I think, you know, Eve had a huge part in that and carrying that torch a little bit. So a lot of fun there on our YouTube channel. And then if you're interested in interacting with any of us personally, we do have a Discord channel. We can put a link in the chat here, but also links on our website to join. It's a really cool online community where we've made friends all across the world and share news, share deck lists, share funny usernames and all of that stuff. And so, thanks everybody for joining us. This
Wild, and pun not intended, the statement, and this has nothing to do with Hearthstone, so I apologize on this one.
You're good.
The statement, we have friends all around the world, is a true statement. That blows my mind all the time.
Right?
Whenever I talk to people and they're like, yeah, I live in Sweden, or I live in South America, or I live in Australia. Hi, Blister Guy. Like, it's just, crazy to me that, like, because of this silly game, we get to know all these amazing people.
Right? It's really crazy. And we were talking about it a while back, but we've made friends, like, and we've had guests on the show from India and from Australia and from where, Thailand and from, gosh, you name it, like different places in Europe. And it's just crazy. Time zones are funky, but like, you know, managed to make it work. And it's just crazy. And even people who stopped playing, you know, are still friends. And it's great. We've met so many people and made so many friends. It's been a really cool experience. As is tradition, though, I do want to dedicate this episode to Hot Dog Boy and Fat Man and Wow Mom.
Incredible names.
Wow Mom last but not least, Slippery Bum.
Those felt like they were targeted names because I was on the pod and I loved them all.
They are the most recent, actually. So,
well, great job, team.
Happy coincidence.
right we usually start out the show just briefly, kind of like, you know, we're hanging out with friends, so we're kind of catching up, so talking about our week, how was it, what have we been up to. I grew this giant mustache and then I cut it off this morning before work because I just could not handle it anymore. It was turning into like a walrus thing, but like,
he looks like Tom Selleck.
It was kind of rad, actually. It grows so fast that it's not a big deal. But like, here's what happened. I had a week off work and I just didn't shave. And then when I got back to work, I was there for one day and got COVID, and like the whole office got COVID. And so I went home and I worked from home for a week and my beard just grew. Right. And it's hot here right now. And my mom, of all people, she's like, you look good with the beard, but like, it's too hot. Like, you should shave, you know, you should shave, but keep the mustache. It was like, what? And like, her dad and all her brothers, like, everyone had mustaches, right? I was like, so I cover my chin and I was like, oh, I guess I could try it. And I did it. And I was like, this is ridiculous. And then I went back to work, and because like everyone was coming off being sick, like had to wear a mask, and so just nobody saw it, right? And so I'm walking around with this giant mustache that nobody knows about, the secret mustache. So funny. There's a band name. Anyways,
secret mustache.
we had a pretty rad week. We got to unveil a Hearthstone dev interview, which was really cool. It was really cool. What an opportunity. It was nutty, and I was really pleased at having the opportunity to do it. It was just so surreal. And anyways, aside from that, I've just been working like a madman and not sleeping a whole lot, but I'm so grateful to have survived this week, and I've made it to Friday evening, and now I can relax over the weekend and hang out with friends. So here we are.
Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
weekend.
Do people still remember Rebecca Black's Friday? Because is burned into a core memory that every single time Friday pops up, so does her singing in that song. And then just like every aspect about that is so crystal clear to my brain. It's terrifying.
Oh, God, that's great. We should do a parody song. It'd be great.
Just every Friday you're partying. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wasn't supposed to be a question mark, but there totally was.
Yeah. How was your week, Sheep?
Is that what we're supposed to do on Fridays? I forget.
Yeah, so my week was really good. Tuesday was a bit of a blur. So on Tuesday, I told my current office that I'm leaving them for another office. I had the breakup conversation with like everyone who like wasn't, you know, like a reference or whatever. I had a fantasy football draft. I played a ton of BGs because the new patch dropped. That was all Tuesday.
Wow. Like,
and it didn't slow down from there. Played a ton more BGs and standard and wild. Prepped a spicy lineup from both my wild and and legacy THL matches. Like, those are going to be so much fun. I can't wait. I am playing like, so I'm playing in Wild, I'm playing against Mimnarch.
Ooh.
And so I'm like, okay, can I beat Mimnarch with like the decks that he's expecting? No. So I went like real weird with it. And I'm probably going to lose anyway, but like, I have a shot because I'm like coming out of left field.
I like it. I like it. I believe you can do it.
Every game, someone wins, someone loses. So like, I've got potential. It could happen.
Memes are for dreams, my friend. Memes are for dreams.
And I will never let my memes be dreams.
I love it.
Storm Rage, what have you been dreaming about this week?
I've been dreaming about having more time in the day to play all the amazing games. Because I cannot recall a time, maybe ever, where there has been this many truly great games that I need to play that I don't have time for.
Right.
I started school this week, so I basically didn't get to play any games from last Saturday up until like Monday or last Sunday up until with this like Wednesday, and then I got a little bit more time once things got settled. But it was insane, and I didn't know what to do when I had some free time because Wild is great. There's new cards coming. I want to get used to where things are at. I want to try and get through the kind of beginner ranks, as it were, in Wild. Standard has new balance changes, so that's a ton of fun and playing with those. I for one, welcome our new warrior overlords. And for BGs, new season, new anomalies. Fantastic. I'm racing a 6K against my co-host on Blizzlet of Smarms, and the loser can't eat Taco Bell for a week. So the stakes are high. The stakes are very high. And then take Hearthstone out of the picture for a second. Baldur's Gate 3 might be the best game of all time ever made. And that's a little hyperbole, but like, it's extremely good. It's extremely good.
If it's hyperbole, it's only a little bit hyperbole.
I heard. Yeah. You know what, though? I heard it was amazing. I haven't got around to it. Someone at work asked me about it today, actually, and I was like, oh, I haven't got around to it, but I heard it was so good.
It's phenomenal. If you have any interest in D&D, it is a must-play game. It's probably the best-written game since, like, Life is Strange level of good, and they're very different categories, don't get me wrong, but they're both just very, very sharp. And everything feels intentional. The way that it rewards players for thinking outside the box. The way that I've played through on three different characters the first, like, hour and a half. Every single time has been drastically different outcomes.
Wow.
Just massive as far as, like, what you come across, what you see. It's insane. So it is a beautiful game. I have spent, I think, 15 hours on it, and I have not even finished the first main quest. Like, it is obscene. And then on top of that, fantasy football season is starting, so I don't know how I'm supposed to spend any time prepping or researching for that, but I love fantasy football. And then on top of that, Armored Core 6 dropped today, and Armored Core is one of my favorite game series of all time. I love playing Armored Core. I've heard amazing things about it, but I can't play it because I have too many other things to play.
Yeah. There's a meme for this. But I know how you feel. It's a great time to be a gamer for sure. I've been playing a ton of Diablo 4 still, and I just can't stop. It's really fun, and I love being able to like turn off my brain and play it as well, because it's like I don't have to think so much. Here you go. This is for you. I'll send it in the DM so you can see it. But this is
I already did.
Oh, you know the one.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's some accuracy there. And then I didn't even mention Diablo, but like I never got to finish Diablo 4 because Baldur's Gate 3 came out. Diablo 4's amazing. And then there's all sorts of Overwatch stuff going on. Like I don't sleep anymore. I just play games.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I mean, you know.
That's my week. It's been phenomenal, honestly.
Hey, it sounds good to me. Could be a lot worse. Could be a lot worse. Mm-hmm. Well, we do have some things to talk about tonight. So,
welcome to the news. The news is so good.
That's right.
The news is so good.
We made the news this week.
What?
So, you know how I said that, like, Tuesday was just a blur? Yeah, I didn't even get into, like, the most exciting part of that, because the Come Explore the Caverns of Time blog dropped, filled with tons of information, all the new cards, and, oh, yeah, the reference to our dev interview right there, which just, like, how are we in the Hearthstone news? Like, what?
It was pretty cool to be featured, like, in the blog, right? It was a very cool shout out. And then really nice tweet from Matt London saying that he really loved doing this interview. I think you can hear in our voices the excitement and passion that we all have for Hearthstone. These new cards were a labor of love, and I hope you feel it when you play with them. So cool. It was just it was such a great experience. I was, like, freaking out because I had to work that day, and I was, like, wrapping up early so that I could do the thing. And then my computer crashed, like, literally, like, 5 to 10 minutes right before the interview. And I'm, like, scrambling, like, really the timing. Like, we were talking about tonight because Windows decided it needed to do a major update, like, right before the show. Like, always does this. And so it just decided to take a giant dump, like, right before this interview. And I was like, well, I'm not going to not do it. So I got on my iPad and my Apple, like, headphones to do this interview, and it's like was all laggy and choppy and stuff. The audio's bad, but, like, it was so rad. It didn't take away from the experience. It just added to the overall, like, craziness of it all. But what a good time. So yeah,
it was a pretty fun tease about one of the new cards at the very end of that too. So I can't wait to find out more lore aspects of Rooney. Like, that's gonna be incredible,
right? When they were first talking about it, I was thinking it was like, when I think of the time traveler, I think of it's Toki, right? Yes. Time traveler. And they were like, no, Rooney, like the daughter of Zyrella, who she was trying to save, and now she's a time traveler and exploring, like, possible future expansions to discover possible future locations. What? Like, it's just mind blown. And I love the lore stuff. It's a huge fan of Knights of Lore, by the way, but for a little throwback there, but yeah, I mean, oh my gosh, this whole thing is just, it's so much to take in. I love that we're getting new C'Thun cards, like, what, and new Jade cards and a new hero card. Like, holy bananas. It's a lot.
Yeah. So all told, we're getting 34 new wild and wild adjacent cards from the Caverns of Time. I'm not going to read all of them because there are 34 names and they won't mean anything to you yet because you can't open them until the 31st of August. And that's Thursday, because on Friday, the new Twist season starts and you can play with anything from Mean Streets back plus the new stuff, and just, like, so exciting. Also in that blog, there is the new signature art, and my wallet is very unhappy.
Oh my god, it's amazing. Like, the ones that I think take the cake for me are the old gods. Like, I know there's so many that are cool, but the style of them and the colors, like, holy crap. I do love the cartoony style of like the League of Explorers too, but the old gods just take the cake for me personally.
The League of Explorers look just like the 70s Lord of the Rings movies.
Yes.
Like, the art style. That's what that is. I, like, at first I was like, oh, I mean, they went a little cartoony. And then I did a double take and was like, no, this is that art style. Like, they nailed it.
I got that movie from the library, like, a few years back when my son was a little bit younger. I think he was like 7 or 8. And I tried to watch it with him and he said it was scary.
Part of it is, like, yeah, call them spooky. Like, that is a spooky part,
right? Do you see what they did to Lotheb and Patches? Oh my god, it's so funny.
I love it so much.
At first I was like, Patches looks derpy, but, like, I kind of like it. And then Corb tweeted, like, new art goes hard. And they are Mike and Sully from Monsters Inc.
Right? Uh-huh. They totally are. Oh my god. It's Mike Wazowski.
I love the detail in the Patches that he is far larger than the boat that he is on. And so the boat's like the size of a shoe to him, and he's just laying on top of it going, "It's, we're gonna get it." And I didn't realize Patches was that big, but it makes it so much funnier that he's a 1-1 that is just this massive 1-1 that just charges in. Well, gets summoned in. And then it's just done, and I love it.
We tried really hard, by the way, to ask questions that we thought people would want to know the answers to. So there we got the Patches question in here. I'll pull up the art for Patches on screen. It's really cute. This artwork is really cool. It reminds me, the Patches artwork reminds me of the Mercenaries one a little bit. And honestly, I was really impressed that they pulled, that they got brand new artwork for all of this stuff, as opposed to like, cause when I heard that they were doing signature cards or whatever, I know they had all this art for Mercenaries that is just like off in the ether somewhere, right? Yeah. And I was like, oh well, they've got, you know, animations for C'Thun and Yogg and all that, maybe they'll like reuse some of that stuff, I don't know. But no, like this is all brand new art, and these things are crazy. Patches in his little tiny boat.
Yeah,
it's great.
But I think to come back to your original point, the old gods look just so cool. My favorite part is that they're not trying, because these are ethereal beings by and large that cannot be comprehended by mortal men, and so instead of trying to put them in card art, they're just like, you know what, we're going to give you an inscription of what they look like in an ancient tomb that you have come across, and you have delved far too deep, and you have come across the monsters that lie beneath. And I just love it so much. It's such a very evocative style, and each one is just different enough. You know exactly who it is. It fits really well. It's just extremely good.
It kind of fits that Lovecraftian theme anyways, because yep. I know a lot of them are like, at least the names are themed after the different like Lovecraft old ones.
Yep.
So yeah, this is really cool. Cause like that's where it would be, right? You're in the mountains of madness or whatever, and you come across this old like inscription on the wall or this old carving, and it's one of these old gods, like, oh, what would happen if I like, you know, spilt a little bit of blood here, or you know, or you just lose your mind, like I don't know. It's craziness. I love these art. The art is nuts. But a lot of these are cool. I saw Martian tweet about Kazakus. This looked really fun, and I don't even like Cenarius, and the card looks amazing. So there, yeah, these are top notch.
They really, really
your wallet just crying so hard right now.
So hard.
Afford to buy a couple of golden packs, right? I can afford to, I just want all of them, and I can't get all of them, but I would like all of them, please, Hearthstone, thank you.
Car payment, signature cards, like, I could walk to work, it's cool.
There's a podcast about that. So, also on Tuesday, patch 27.2 dropped. The buffs that we were talking about last week, they're now live in the game. I mean, you know, the Caverns of Time, they were buffed for that thing. It all kind of is connected. We were talking about Battlegrounds earlier. We're not going to dive super deep into BGs because, like, we are a Wild and Wild Adjacent podcast, but, like, Battlegrounds is so good right now. I'm so, so happy playing that mode. It's awesome.
It's really good.
Right? I want to play with all the different anomalies, and I'm so bad at Battlegrounds, but I have so much fun doing it, which is just like my complete chaos mode.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Twist is coming back next Friday, the 1st. So like we're going to be talking about Twist on the day that it comes out next week. So that's going to be
I think they did it for us, just for us. Right? I love when the news releases on podcast day. It's so great. It's like, Oh, we have something to talk about.
And speaking of news dropping on podcast day, Celestalon today announced, you know how like last time, whenever Twist very first dropped, it was like, oh, who has what star multiplier? And it seemed like almost random because some people had their wild multiplier. Some people had like not their wild multiplier. For example, Shmoopy had a 2x multiplier. I felt so bad for him because he almost got to legend in the 4-day like window first. Yeah. And then a lot of standard folks had like 2x multipliers too.
Yep. You know? That was 2x.
Mm-hmm. So after the first, you know, mini season, like I had an 11x multiplier, which felt great. But then I kind of sailed into legend with Dude Paladin the second like proper month. It was a blast. Did that on day one. Twist was in beta. Twist is not going to be in beta on September 1st. And they have reconfigured the star multiplier to correspond to that. So Celestalon tweeted, in preparation for Twist's full launch on September 1st, we've set everyone's Twist MMR to the highest of their beta Twist, wild, or standard MMRs, but capped it out at a 9x star multiplier. So, you know, I had an 11x multiplier in Twist. I'm going to have a 9x. I love that change because it makes it more equitable. It makes that climb like you're not just meshing with like just the wild people who you were playing before. You're not meshing with just the like a Twist people who you were encountering before. It's an actual proper race this time. Yep. And I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's good.
When I originally played Twist, I'm someone that if number don't go up fast enough, my attention span does and it just goes away. And so number did not go up very fast because I had a 2x multiplier. And so I played a couple games and I was like, oh, or I could just like play in legend and standard instead of dinking around in bronze 5 on Twist. And so the fact that this will carry over and now I don't have to go through every single rank is very exciting. Because if I had to go through this with both my wild, increase my wild from 2x and my and go with my standard and then also climb with a 2x on Twist, I just die. I just fall over and just be done.
Yeah.
Because there's no way that I'm making that climb. And all of a sudden now I'm like, ooh, Twist. I'll mess around.
When Hydra and I did our classic climb, we had like no bonus stars or whatever. And it just, it was fine, but it took forever because
so long.
It just takes forever with no bonus stars. And it's not really what you want to be doing if you can avoid it. So yeah, this is great. This is great.
Yeah, I think I had like a 5, 6, maybe 7x multiplier in Classic whenever I finally made the push. But like, that was not a particularly positive experience either. So I'm super glad that they're carrying this over. Standard folks gonna have their multiplier, won't be set back.
The only thing that was positive about that run for me, I think, was that there were so many bots. I got the highest win rate I've ever had. My win streak, I think, was 45 games or 54 games or something. Like I hit legend with a 94% win rate or 96% win rate or something. Like it was absurd. it was like it's the what you dream of, right? But they were like, they were all bots until I hit like rank one, and then my up to the final boss were like all real people, which terrified me because the bots play so differently that like I got used to this play pattern of like, it doesn't matter what they drop. You just play a doomsayer and they just lose because they'll never attack into it. They always go face. And as it turns out, real people play differently than bots. Who would have thought?
Oh, hard to believe.
Yeah, I was playing as Hunter and, Explosive Trap, they will actively play into Explosive Trap. They will play all of their little dudes first, and then they'll go face. They'll use their Shattered Sun Cleric, buff something up to 2 health, and then go face and perfect. Just proc that Explosive
it's
Trap.
It's great. It's great.
I had never experienced playing against a bot or like somebody that I knew was a bot. Because in standard, I don't, where with my multiplier, I don't think I really encounter bots.
Probably not too much, yeah.
Ever. But in wild, I was playing against somebody and I was like, what's happening here? They're roping every turn. They're not playing any cards, but they're not like AFK, they're clearly hitting the end turn button, or they would play in like the weirdest play pattern, and then eventually I was like, oh, these are the mythical bots people have talked about. This is how they play. This is weird. Okay. I just can't lose to one. If I lose to one, I think I have to delete my account. I haven't yet, but boy, howdy. It'll be very shameful if I do.
Oh, it's so it's the worst feeling to lose to a bot. And it's everyone does it, so don't feel bad. But it's like when you know it's a bot and then like you just draw poorly. It's like I felt ashamed. So bad.
Yeah, especially the wild ones. Most of the time they're playing like Pirate Rogue, right? And so their curve is so low, they're always going to have a curve. So if you just slightly miss yours, they're just always going face. You'll lose to a bot, but don't feel too bad about it. Like it's a rite of passage. It'll be okay. I promise.
I did get down to, I was playing a machine gun priest and got down to like 5 health. Against a mage that was just like a very basic standard mage that was being run by a bot, but they burned face the entire time and I didn't draw any of my healing and it was extremely close.
It do be like that sometimes.
If you are playing with spells, face always has taunt.
So, true.
Finally, in the news realm, in the store, you can buy Fellfirework Arana and Flameshot Sylvanas if you miss them for 1,000 gold.
This gives me hope for that Death Knight portrait that I never got. So maybe one day, since I'm not good enough to win the Brawliseum, that I can just spend money. In like
I feel very confident that is never going to come for money. If it does, it'll be like $200. Good luck.
Or it'll be in like 5 years when everyone's forgotten about it, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I would not hold your breath on that one, though.
They nerfed Crimson something size hello. Like he used to just go, hey, it was great. And now he's like, greetings, you face sigh. I stopped using hello with it because it went from hey to an actual saying something. I'm like, this isn't what I want.
It's really sad. And I went to like the Hearth Sounds or Hearth SFX and like it's the current one. And I was really disappointed.
I miss the hey.
I love both of these a lot. Fellfirework Arana is great. Flameshot Sylvanas I will probably end up buying because it looks phenomenal. It's just very fun coloring for Sylvanas.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, the artwork is amazing. I love the fire, like the fire bow. It's so cool.
Yeah. I was the edgelord that whenever I played D&D or WoW, I always used to get a flame tongue enchantment. So I was like, flame swords are cool. And to be fair, they still are. But I was really confident they were cool as a kid. And so flame bows, even cooler maybe. The problem with Fellfirework Arana is that it's not Emo Rock Arana. And therefore, it's not as good as Emo Rock Arana. I only have 2 classes where I have exactly 1 portrait selected. One is Demon Hunter for Emo Rock Arana. The other is Druid for Star Seeker Elise. And they are both phenomenal.
Yeah, I can co-sign that. Okay, I'm going to go down a rabbit hole super quick. When I was a kid, I played these games called Quest for Glory. Okay? And if you're playing as you can choose your class, either a warrior, a thief, or a wizard, right? And you kind of progress. But with the warrior, if you do all the nice things and you're like the hero, you can become a paladin. And the reward for becoming the paladin is your sword now lights on fire. It's like you've got the flaming sword because you're the paladin. You can use magic now also. But like that's how you can tell like when you're in danger, your sword goes like lights up. And I was like, this is the greatest thing I have ever seen. And so from a young like, you know, age, I've been in that same thing. Like your sword can light on fire. I'm down. I want it. Like you don't got to ask me twice. What I was so really disappointed good. When they did like those skins and they had the fire ones. And they only did them for like some of them, like Uther with the book and it's all on fire and Rexxar. And they made 2 for Rexxar for whatever reason. And there's all the fire like that's rad. Give me more. And then they're like fireworks. Yeah. Or whatever. And like so some of the classes like don't have them, but whatever.
Flames for everyone. That's what we're arguing here. Everybody should get flames.
That's right. That's right. I'd be so down.
Flames, they're so hot right now.
Oh, it's funny because it's true.
Oh, dear. Well, we went through the news in record time. I'm excited to play with the new stuff. Like, yeah, that's all the news. I mean, I don't. Yeah, I just want to play with C'Thun. That's what I want to do.
So what C'Thun deck do you want to like play with the most? Like, because you can go a number of different directions, especially like soon, right? Like with the new C'Thun cards, you know, of course, there's like you mentioned, you know, Warrior previously, you know, like Ancient Shieldbearer got a buff, you know, like what do you specifically probably that you didn't play before, right? Like, because C'Thun Warrior, loved C'Thun Warrior. I'm still going to play some more. I'm more excited to play like C'Thun Rogue because I didn't play it back in the day, for example.
Cards were just too expensive. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I agree with you though. Like, I want to play the stuff that I didn't play then. So like Rogue would be really fun, or Warrior, I think, would be really fun. Back then, I played a lot of like Druid. There was like, I was just like kind of curve ramp Druid, like C'Thun stuff. What my specialty is like taking two things that should not go together and putting them in the same deck and then getting frustrated when they don't win. Like, like Secret Paladin with C'Thun cards, or like Jade Druid with C'Thun cards. Like that's
see,
what
now
I.
Now that one sounds fun to me. I wouldn't mind some Jade Druid C'Thun.
It's like it's bad, but it's fun. Like I just want all the stuff and like just put it in the same deck. It's such a bad idea. I'll play Pirate Rogue with C'Thun cards.
Yes.
Don't do this.
This is a hyper specific thing, but it brought to mind because you mentioned like Jade Druid C'Thun, which is a combination that I've definitely done in the solo mode of Dungeon Run. Ooh. And I wonder if the buffed cards will also be buffed in Dungeon Run or not.
Oh,
my guess is probably not, because I know that they're going to be like reprints or different copies, but I would love it if we saw some the buffs also carry over to those solo modes.
They might, because they said if you already own the cards, like the existing card is buffed. And I think that Celestalon had said that they, or maybe it was Matt, that they wanted to have the same card existing in like in its form, mm-hmm, in like all the places, so that it wasn't like different versions in different formats, because that's confusing to people.
Yep.
I think that's what they said, right, Sheep? I'm paraphrasing, yeah, but I think that was the gist of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And in particular for like Caverns of Time, when you're cracking packs, if you already own one of the, for example, Kazakus, unless you're getting, you know, unless you have all of the
oh, right,
legendary, yeah, cards, you won't crack him. Or if you're like getting the signature Kazakus, huh? But duplicate protection also applies to those because you already have those cards, which is pretty cool too. One of the things you're talking about earlier of the like jamming two different archetypes that may or may not work, like Rogue got a new Jade card.
Mm-hmm.
Rogue got Jade Telegram. So look at three cards in your opponent's hand and shuffle one of them into their deck. Summon a Jade Golem. No lies, until I was reading it right now, I thought it said shuffle it into your deck. So like, I thought you were stealing it. I thought you were burgling. So I was going to be like, burgle Jade Rogue. But
oh,
now I just read the new Jade card that I'm still excited about, but it's not also a burgle card.
Well, I feel silly then, because I think I said something about that on the show. But anyways, it doesn't matter. Shh.
No one would have known.
Right? We were all so excited. They're like, yeah, sure, whatever. New cards. Oh, God. Yeah, my specialty is Secret Paladin with dragons. It's really bad, but it's so fun.
Sounds like both of those things to be true.
I do. You know what, though? Mysterious Challenger got buffed, and, like...
Yeah, it's a 2-mana 2/3, right?
I don't remember what the new stats are. Two mana, 2/3 is. I don't think so. That's
five.
Yeah,
five.
when they first published it, the chart was off for like the buff versus the name was a little bit off.
Mysterious
Challenger 2/2/3. Oh, and that would have been amazing.
Oh, I play nothing but Paladin.
It'd be the only deck to play.
Yeah.
I'm down with Curvestone. I like that. That was the original, like, when we talk about, you know, what was it? Shielded Minibot on 2, Piloted Shredder on 3, and something else on 4, Lotheb on 5.
Mysterious Challenger on
6, Dr. Boom on 7, and Tyrion on 8. Is that it? I think.
I think so.
It's like the perfect curve. I'm missing a couple cards that I don't remember what they are anymore.
Argent Squire, I think, was one.
Yeah, it could be.
Knife Juggler.
What was on 4? I was thinking 3 was the mech card that nobody plays anymore.
Yeah, the Shredder.
Piloted Shredder, right? But I don't remember. That's so sad. I'm getting old and my memory's going.
I mean, you say that, but this was like 6+ years ago.
Yeah.
For Paladin, it was likely either Blessing of Kings or True Silver Champion. Or there's Senjin Shieldmaster. Or Defender of Argus. Or just a solid Chillwind Yeti. Or Twilight Drake. Those are some of the best, more common 4 drops.
I'm gonna look it up now.
Yeah, if I had to guess, it was probably Blessing of Kings. But that's not a minion, but it seems like it should be not a minion, but should be the card, especially since you're curving out with 2 Divine Shield dudes and then one, then Shredder on 3. Like, you're gonna have a minion stick at that point. That's my call. Blessing of Kings, calling my shot, right, Meow?
I'm gonna guess True Silver Champion.
I forgot the 3 drop also. People were playing Muster, it was Muster for Battle. I didn't think about that. And all the secrets cost 1, so there's that too. All right. What year was it?
I like our answers better.
I do too.
Yes, I concur.
Hearthstone top decks from April 2016. Oh, Haunted Creeper. How could I forget?
As I feverishly Google Haunted Creeper.
It was a 2-mana 1/2 beast. I don't think it was a beast at the time, or it was, but the spectral it spiders was. Are not beasts, right? When it dies, it created 2/1/1s. Yeah, True Silver Champion is 4, or
you called it
Keeper of Uldumon, but that doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem right to me. Piloted Shredder, yeah. Lotheb, Dr. Boom, yep. Tyrion, yeah. Okay, all the secrets are 1. That's why.
That's easier to fit things in from here and there, so you don't need to curve out perfectly.
It was Muster for Battles 3. Yeah. And 4 is either True Silver Champion or Piloted Shredder into Lotheb into Mysterious Challenger, Dr. Boom, Tyrion. There you go.
That's right. Shredder was 4.
Yeah.
I don't know why I was thinking it was 3.
I don't know. Yeah.
I was just trusting you guys that my memory was off. I was like, they're smarter than I am. It must be a 3 drop. They're saying it real confidently.
We're not. We can just flub really confidently.
You had to think real hard about that word and not say the swear word it sure felt like.
Yeah. Yeah. I did it.
Now who's in danger of swearing on the pod? It's not old Storm Rage. I'm doing great.
Oh dear. Okay. Well, yeah. I don't know what else to say. I can't wait to play it. God, maybe I'll play some Secret Paladin.
Excitement abounds. Storm Rage, what are you going to dive into Twitch with?
Everything with Jades. All the Jades. I'm obviously going to start with Jade Druid because that was like the first deck that I got good with.
Yeah.
And admittedly, I don't think I got good with Jade Druids until Knights of the Frozen Throne, where you could also Spreading Plague and then just defeat people with that. Spreading Plague plus Branching Paths is still one of the most disgusting combos in the game. And so it won't be that level, but I love me some Aya Blackpaw, Jade Behemoth on 5. Yes, please. And then just the fact that it was a deck that could go infinite with Fandral plus Jade, and it's just like, all right, this is just going to be a good time for me. And so that's going to be the first deck. The second deck is going to be Jade Shaman, and that's just going to be great. The third deck's going to be Jade Rogue, and that's also I'm very excited about. So there's a bit of a theme on the first couple. And then I remember Pirate Warrior being insane. Mm-hmm. And Small Time Buccaneer getting buffed back to 2 health. Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's... That plus the first mate, because that the one drop that gives you a 1/3 weapon, that's in the game, right? That's in Twist?
It not only is it, but in the Hearthstone client, and I haven't seen this announced by the devs on Twitter, but it's in the Hearthstone client. There's a signature version of Nezahs first mate, which looks incredible.
Yes, please.
Yeah, we still haven't seen all the art and stuff yet, and I'm really looking forward to it. There's some things.
So Pirate Warrior, strong choice.
Now, I'm still going to be sad that Patches doesn't go face, and I'll be even more sad when I draw Patches, and then it's just like, all right, what are you doing here? Get out of here. You don't belong in this anymore. And so I'm very excited about Pirate Warrior. And then after that, I'm going to jam a bunch of C'Thun, because C'Thun is such a fun card. And then maybe a Casino Mage, just because I love Yogg, take the wheel. Let me cast all the spells and then see if I win. And there's just so many, I think, iconic Hearthstone decks in that era that a lot of people have never gotten to play.
Yeah.
Because I didn't get to play all of them in their time. Like, I didn't get to really play Jades during this time in, like, a full meta deck because I didn't have the dust for it. Cards were way harder to get back then. And thankfully, that's changed. But now I have access to a lot more dust. I have access to a lot more gold. I can get a lot more of these cards. And so now I'm feeling pretty confident that if I don't have cards, because I dusted a lot of them because I thought, I'll never play Wild. That's so silly. Oops. And so now I think that I'll have enough dust and gold to kind of craft at least a couple of meta decks that I really want. And I can't believe I'm wasting my dust on Wild cards. Storm Rage of a year ago would have thought I had gone insane.
It's not a waste. It's not a waste.
I know that now. I have converted slightly, a little bit. And I think that there is absolutely some very, very fun, gross things to be had here. But a year ago, Storm Rage would not have thought those things.
Oh, being degenerate is like half the fun of the format, right?
I would say, since we've gone through the news, can I talk just a little bit about my experience of jumping into
please,
Wild?
Oh, please, do.
Please do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I knew that Wild, I had played the most recent Twist, which felt like Wild Light to me, of like some really, really obscene things. But most games still went to like turn 7, turn 8, things of that nature. And I was like, oh, okay. So this is pretty fun. And my first game with Wild Mech Paladin, when I filled the board on turn 3 with just gross things, I was like, well, that was just a good draw. Like, I happened to hit the nuts. It happened to go off. I happened to do well. And then I did it 10 more times in a row, and I was like, what is happening? What is this? I just played against a game where I was quest rogue, thanks to a deck that you had sent me, Sheep. And I was like, oh, okay, this is great. And I played the quest. My opponent was a warlock, and they were a discard lock. They played Knight of Tiny Evil and then coined Solarium. So they discarded 3 cards. And I was like, my opponent's got a 7/9 minion on turn 2. I've lost. There's nothing I can do about this. And then I drew Mech Warper. And it turns out that Mech Warper can just do degenerate things. And I killed this tiny knight of evil. I flooded the board with 5/5s. I had a taunt and divine shield. And I was like, ooh, guess I'm fine. And then they immediately conceded right after that. And it's just hard to truly process the power level of this mode. Because anytime I have an insane turn and I go, oh, well, like, no one can come back from this. You're going to tell me they're going to silence clear, and build your board in one turn? Yes. Yes, they are. They're going to do exactly that. And it's going to feel really bad. And it's so weird to have that much power in your hands at all times. And it feels like in both instances, I feel like I can win any game because I could draw well and just go off, right? Like, eventually I could just draw enough cards. I can play enough things that'll, but I also never feel safe. I always feel like at any point my opponent could just play all their cards and all my stuff's gone, and that's bad. And it's such a different mindset than in Standard.
Yeah.
I have to be prepared for those swings to be more polarizing than ever in Standard. And not let my swings that go in the opposite direction hit me. Because, boy, howdy, there were a couple games where I was like, this is ridiculous. This is just ridiculous. Why is this happening? And I turned into a chicken in the hen house just wondering why people are stealing my eggs. I'm like, what's going on over here? I don't like this. Get out of here.
Yeah.
But it's very fun. It's very, very fun.
It can get nutty sometimes. I forget. You know, we played it for such a long time that, like, yeah, you... It's got to be really interesting as somebody who's like playing it for, I don't want to say the first time, but like kind of like new experience, right? And like, yeah, there's some crazy stuff that happens.
My only other experience with Wild has been me forcing Pogo Hopper, because that's my favorite card of all time, is Pogo Hopper. That card's still not good. Maybe if you make it zero mana and also buff its stats by two,
it's good,
then maybe
the...
it's fine.
It's good in the Tavern Brawl a couple times a year.
That's true. Yeah. That's my favorite Tavern Brawl.
That is the correct opinion.
You got to play it before anyone else realizes that, like, it's the nuts and then everyone's playing it, right? So, yeah.
It's at good times. So I'm curious. I have played Mech Paladin to climb very effectively. That deck's insane. I've played a little bit of Quest Rogue, and Quest Rogue was one of my all-time favorite decks when back in Un'Goro. I loved that deck a lot because any deck where I play a bunch of things in a single turn, yes, please. That's also why I love Outcast Demon Hunter so much. I'm just gonna play a bunch of things in a single turn. I'm curious, what other decks do you guys think that I should try? Especially as I am in the mode where I can kind of experiment and play some off-meta stuff before I get into the real hard meta of, like, Diamond and up.
So my go-to is Aggro Druid with Embiggen. So you play one or two Embiggens, you play a cheap, stupid pirate, he pulls patches out of your deck, patches is a 5/5, doesn't have charge, but like he's a five five. And then, like, if you have a parachute brigand in your hand, then cool. If you don't, but you draw one, here's a free 6/6. It's just it's absolutely degenerate whenever you draw Embiggen. If you don't draw Embiggen, it's still good, but like you get Embiggen in your opener, it's just like,
oh, it's like
over.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
I think
personally,
I think my favorite is probably Pirate Rogue. I just really like it, and it's super aggro, and it wins by like turn four, and I just like it. It just, you kind of flood the board and you use cannons and you're doing all the stuff. Like, I don't know, like, it's not going to win the long game against their super control-y decks, but like, the older I get, like, my patience is just not there to play a super long control-y game anymore. Like, I used to really like it. Like, my old favorite deck would have been like a Reno Priest or Nazoth, like Death Rattle, Reno, whatever, Warlock. Like, I love that stuff, but I don't want to play a 30-minute game anymore. I want to play like a 5-minute game. So the aggro, I think, is the way for me. The rogue, I really like it. The swordfish, like, oh, it's just so good. It's got nerfed a couple of times, but, you know, I think it still wins games.
Absolutely. And anytime you can play pirates or mechs, those are going to be the way to go for sure. Mech rogue, also very good right now. Funny thing about all the mechs that they gave us, those spark bots and caverns rogue. I'm sure you've already noticed this, but after you play your quest reward, the magnetizing them adds 5/5 instead of like,
yeah,
I don't think it should do that, but like, I'm not complaining.
It sure shouldn't do that.
No,
I also, in my brain, because you gave me the list, and it was one of those where I saw the 2-mana spell add 3/1/1 spark box to your hand, and I was like, oh, okay. And then I played it, and then I got the spark bots in my hand, and I was like, well, they're different spark bots. That's two. Oh, it's not going to let me complete it by just playing spark bots, right? What if I just magnetize? It's not going to let me just magnetize them, right? It did on both accounts. Turns out it's just insanely good.
Yep.
So you have Mech Warper plus that spell plus like any of the one that gives you one more. You're just going to complete it. It's just it's unfair. It's just so good. It's so fun. I love it so much.
Who wants to play fair anyways?
That's fair. I think that deck alone might make me want to play a little bit more wild because it's real good.
Yeah, I think that's probably the most fun deck right now. Like that's still like good. Like there are tons of like fun, like not good decks. That's the best fun good deck.
I like how you put that because that's the truth, really. Like, because maybe we joke about it, right? But like winning is fun. So like, is it worth it to play the fun deck that sucks? Like, not really, because after a while, like losing repeatedly is not very fun anymore. So if you can do both, yeah, that's the way. That's the way.
The way.
Wiser words have never been spoken. And you heard that on
Bored to Be Wild.
I mean, you set it up. Oh, it is the time, isn't it?
It was kind of abrupt, but it was like perfect timing. So I was like, I mean.
Real quick, before we, because I imagine that's like the cue to do sign-offs.
Well, there. We wanted to respect your time because we know you have to take off. You're welcome to stay. You're welcome to say whatever you like. Yeah.
Just real
pop
quick.
Off.
There's a WoW trivia show that's basically Beat the Lore Master, and they had a trivia section where it was playing the orchestral introduction of each of the expansions.
Oh.
And I did not realize that they're basically the exact same thing, but with a little twist in each one. And you had to guess what the expansion was based on the orchestral introduction. I was like, this is so cool. So if you're ever interested in learning more about WoW lore, check out the show. It's really, really good.
Wait, yeah, what's it called?
You
can look it up. I'll cut this part out. We can fix it later. It's fine.
Yeah, because I listen to Essence of Azeroth, but I'm like completely caught up on that one. So I am in the market for another WoW/Hearthstone lore podcast.
It's Test Your WoW Trivia Knowledge, Stump Sean. And they've done, I think, up to 7 of them. I'll give a link to the show itself in our little chat here.
Oh, it's sweet. All right.
Extremely fun.
I want to hear it now. It was funny to me when I was listening to some of the soundtracks and I was like, oh, they stole that. Like when we play our like beep, boop, beep, beep, boop, boop, boop. Like that's just part of a song somewhere. Like it's like the middle of one of the songs. And we just use it for our, you know, well, I always think of it as like play Tyrion and that song plays, yeah. You know, but it's like there's a lot of stuff that they like resources that they have that they can reuse. All right, I have to listen to it now.
Very fun. I encourage it.
All right. Yeah, I'll have to do that and report back.
Well, Stormrage, thank you so much for joining us, friend.
Yeah, dude. It's great to see you
hanging out
with me, guys. It was so exciting. I am glad that I kind of got the push to actually play a little bit more wild because it's more fun than I expected it to be.
One of us. Very cool. I'm glad that we could. Yes, we have a convert. It's great.
Oh, dude. At least until you add that in that stone into your infinity gauntlet.
Hey, it's cool. You don't have to be, it doesn't have to be all the time. Just dabble. It's all right.
Well, then. Just dip a toe in.
That's right. Just
the first taste is definitely not free, but still fun.
I do think that the new packs coming out will make it easier for people. Cause like, I know like Deck Tech always says like, don't dust your wild cards. Don't dust your wild card. Like we see the tweets and stuff, but like people always do. And then it's like, oh crap, I dusted all my wild cards. How am I going to play this new thing? Like, oh, you just get the new packs. Like you don't have to go buy random packs from random old sets. Like you just get the new packs and they have the stuff. So
yep,
That's cool. That's pretty cool. I think it'll be relatively accessible.
Yeah, buddy.
All right. Well, now wiser words are never spoken. And you heard that on
Bore to Be Wild.
Oh dear.
Yeah, that's a double in drop episode. Check it.
Oops, that's right. I goofed it good, folks.
Sorry for the extra content.
How many outros do we need?
Another one.
Oh man. Good times. That was fun.